through the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Today is April 20th, and we have a long agenda. We have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-ish, give or take, work sessions, and then a couple of public hearings and possible work sessions. And I believe we have most of the paperwork back that we need on all the scheduled work sessions. So, let's get to it. So we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 716. Pat, do you want to explain to us what the where we are with the amendments that we have paperwork back for?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 716, there's a no revenue impact statement and a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash 5 amendment that's in your packet. The bill itself authorizes Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties to each designate one large lot industrial reserve of 150 to 500 acres adjacent to an urban growth boundary. The amendment replaces the Dash 5 amendment, reduces the maximum acreage to 500 to 400 in the definition of a large lot industrial reserve. It removes the authorization from Multnomah and Washington counties to designate, and it authorizes Columbia County to designate a large lot industrial reserve adjacent to designated urban growth boundary. The Act stipulates that in order to change the designation of land in Clackamas County designated as rural reserve, a large lot industrial reserve, the same numbers of acres of agricultural land originally designated as urban reserve must be designated as rural reserves and be expected to generate 35% more annual revenue from agricultural products.
Okay. And how long have those, has that amendment been on OLIS?
Let me pull that up. 13? Sorry.
Hold on. 13.
Oh, yes.
Pull it up whenever.
Pulling it up right now. And
here. So the Dash 5's committee members, whether you like the underlying bill or not, the Dash 5's were an attempt to address some of the concerns, not able to address all of the concerns, but some of the concerns that were expressed to us either during committee or in testimony or communications that we'd received since that first public hearing. So that's what the Dash 5's are about. And Beth just went over what the Dash 5's do. And those are the amendments that I'm supporting. Those are the amendments that we have a fiscal and a revenue impact statement on. And now, I don't know what the fate of this bill is. I have made it no secret that I'm supportive of the underlying concept, and I've said on more than one occasion why. But, you know, we'll see if this is just another example of why it's so hard to get land use stuff, things done in the state of Oregon. So, you know, Senator Thompson, I'm going to ask you, would you be amenable to moving the Dash 5s? Because I don't know if I have support from or Senator Dembro, if you move the Dash 5s, not compelling you to vote for the bill. But
I'm happy to move it.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments dated April 13, 2015.
Senator Dembro has moved to adopt the Dash 5's amendment dated April 13th, 2015. Discussion on the amendment. Okay, no discussion. Are there any objections to adoption of the Dash 5 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'll give a courtesy vote for the Dash 5s to adopt them, but I am not favoring the bill going forward.
Okay, motion carries. And so now we're down to the underlying bill
as amended
by the Dash 5 amendments. I don't know if you want it, you may not want to make the motion. I understand.
Sure.
It's not that it's contagious or anything.
Well, I have to say I move Senate Bill 716 to the floor for
as amended
with a due pass recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So was that you move it to the floor?
Yep.
As amended?
As amended.
Okay.
with a do-pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Thompson moves Senate Bill 716 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
I've never done that.
Discussion on this bill that's ahead of us or in front of us. Senator Prezonsky.
Mr. Chair, as I stated, I was a courtesy vote on moving the Dash 5s into the bill. I am not going to be able to support the bill based on my work on when we did Measure 49 and other basics that we've had within our land use system. I know I can, from my discussions with you as to some of the frustrations you have with this current system, and I appreciate that and understand your desires here. I do feel that the testimony that we heard was compelling to me that this was not something that was actually needed today at this time, based on other opportunities that we could see these larger industrial large lots to be able to be reserved in areas in what I'm going to call the greater Tri-County area, but still raise concerns that it seems that in some areas where we've had larger industrial lots set aside, they were not able to accommodate larger company, or let's say for use for larger company desires, and actually had to be partitioned out to actually have them move. So at this point, I will be a no on the move, the motion that's before us.
Thank you, Senator. Yeah. Any comments down here? Okay. Senator Olson.
Yeah. I support the underlying concept. I'd like to see South Clackamas County grow. I'd like to see the opportunity to bring in industry to South Clackamas County, but this bill doesn't quite fit that definition.
Okay. What if it were Tuesday? Does everybody ought to have a job on Tuesday,
yeah,
Senator?
Absolutely.
And we might be able to get permission to carry this over and get another work session scheduled if it makes a difference.
So you want to carry
I'm giving over? You. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Right, you
now.
You want to carry it over?
I don't want to carry it over because if it gets carried over, well, this is the last scheduled meeting, and we're out of time to actually schedule that. So, yeah.
Thanks, Senator. Mr. Chair. I just want to say, you know, for me, one of the real problems with this is the location in the metro area. And, you know, I believe that we have, you know, there is land to be developed in the Gresham area, East Multnomah County. We have a lot of brownfields to be developed. I think that that's really where we should be putting our focus at this time. So, therefore, I'm going to be a no on it.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Thompson, anything?
I'm ready to vote.
Okay. Well, I will be voting for the bill. As much as I do, and I know that some folks probably believe that I don't appreciate our land use system as much as I actually do, I do think, as I said in a prior hearing on a different bill, that our land use system has a few blind spots. And one of them is in rural Oregon. Some of the requirements on some of our smaller communities, I think, are just more than those smaller communities have the capacity to comply with. And in areas like the metro area and other urban centers, nobody wants large lot industrial in their backyard. So at the local level, understandably, it's highly politicized. I understand that. But I think that there is a state interest in having large lot industrial that can be one of those anchors for, you know, that next big thing. And, you know, there's still a lot of public process in this bill. I understand that there is industrial land currently designated in the metro area. It's not much of it is large lot. And I do understand that there are brownfields that need to be redeveloped, and there's a significant ask for public resources to do that. And if we want to be able to attract that next big employer, particularly in a traded sector, we have to have something to offer. And I think that our state is short on that. So I care about growing this economy. I'm tired of voting on bad school budgets. I'm tired of our poverty rate that is driving up our human services. Our human services budgets, and you know, it's you know, it's sometimes you got to go against the grain to make some changes. So I think that's the reasons that I'm supporting this bill. But yeah, Senator Prezanski.
Now, Mr. Chair, I know that there are some of this not my backyard, but I assure you, in Douglas County and parts of Lane counties, there'd be communities that would be welcomely embracing these industries if they wanted to invest in those larger tracts that are available now, besides what has already been noted that's in the Tri-County area.
Thank you, Senator. So with that, could you call the roll?
Senator Dimbrough?
No.
Senator Prezanski?
No.
Senator Thompson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Chair Edwards?
Yes. Motion fails. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 716. You win some, you lose some. So we'll move on. Next, okay, so Senate Bill, next on the agenda is Senate Bill 163. We're not going to be working that bill. I have talked with the sponsor of the bill. He's aware of that. Senate Bill 164, it will be our intention to send it to rules without recommendation. So we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 164.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, just for clarification, we are taking 163 off, or it's not moving forward today.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 164 is a minimal revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact statement issued on the measure itself. Senate Bill 164 provides that it provides an exemption from the requirement that fuel must contain a certain percentage of biodiesel or other renewable diesel in counties east of the summit of the Cascade Mountains from November 1st to February 28th.
So you remember, committee members, that we had some testimony from Senator Whitsitt as to why this bill was necessary. We had some conflicting testimony from folks in the biofuels or biodiesel industry. And since then, not as a part of this, of the committee hearing process, but actually privately in my office, some folks from the fuel distribution industry came and visited with me, and the information that they shared with me was that, well, they said, no, actually, while a lot of people think that the fuel filter problems and some of the fuel problems that are created in cold weather are due to biofuels, it's actually not a result of biofuels, and actually is the result of refining diesel from, if I remember right, tar sands and shale oil sources of petroleum. So while they said it's actually not a biofuels problem that's creating this issue, the solution is potentially blending with much higher rates of number one diesel, which is kerosene, or substitution for that. So it's a non-biofuels solution, a non-biofuels problem, but a non-biofuels solution. So we don't have time to do that, and it's being contemplated. So I checked with the presiding officer and the rules committee chair, and I think they're both amenable. The sponsor of the bill is amenable to sending it to rules, and so that's why we're bringing this forward to you today. So, Senator Olson?
Mr. Chair, are these the same people that said that the ethanol and the gasoline wouldn't eat up the carburetor on my chainsaw?
I couldn't tell you who said that to you.
Because that's a $100-some-odd fix right now. So, but I'll move the bill forward.
Great. Thank you.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 164 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 164 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Is there discussion?
Sir, I'll just say, after the hearing last week, I reached out to the Department of Agriculture, which one of whose units is responsible for overseeing the quality of our fuel, and got a very similar response from them that, they haven't had complaints about biodiesel being a problem, but if there was a problem, it was likely with the underlying diesel that the biofuel was being mixed with. So yes. It's very, very useful. And I'll forward it to the other committee members.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I can completely understand where these guys come from, but when I used to live in Indianapolis and plowed snow with a backhoe at 22 degrees below zero, my backhoe stopped because then my diesel fuel froze. Mm-hmm. And that we didn't have biofuel at the time. Hmm. So it will happen.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. Is there any other discussion? Okay, seeing no further discussion, are there any objections? Seeing no objections, the motion carries. It is Senate Bill 164 is on its way to the Rules Committee, Senate Committee on Rules. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 164. And we are going to open a work session on Senate Bill 202.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 202 requires the establishment of the Oregon Academy of Sciences and is a nonprofit corporation to serve as the principal source of scientific investigation. Other sources. It also abolishes the independent multidisciplinary science team. The Dash 5 amendment that is on OLIS has a no revenue impact and a fiscal statement issued on that version of it. There is a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. And that amendment establishes the task force on independent scientific review for natural resources consisting of up to 15 members. It requires the task force to assess the need for an independent scientific review in Oregon and make recommendations on what entities are best suited to conduct or coordinate scientific review.
All right. So we've got the dash fives in front of us. I entertain a motion on the Dash 5s.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendment to Senate Bill 202, dated 4-16-2015.
Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash 5 amendment to Senate Bill 202, dated 4-15-2015. Any discussion?
4-16, sir. Did you say 15?
I have a typo. Sorry. Excuse me. That's my typo. It is 4-16.
That's why we should just say the Dash 5s.
That's fine.
So it's what?
It's 416.
416, okay. So the Dash 5s from 4-16-2015 is on, that motion is on the table, or on the, it has been made, excuse me, it's on the table. Any discussion on the Dash 5s? Okay. Are there any objections to the Dash 5s? Seeing none, motion carries.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 202 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Olson has moved Senate Bill 202 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion on this bill?
Okay.
Seeing none, are there any objections to the bill? Okay, note for the record the objection of Senator Thompson. The motion carries. Close the work session on Senate Bill 202. Open work session on Senate Bill 264.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 264, there's a Dash 5 amendment in front of you, which has a no fiscal impact and a no revenue impact issued on that Dash 5 amendment. The amendment itself replaces the measure and authorizes the Water Resources Department to participate in activities related to the joint management entity consistent with the settlement agreement. It establishes certain activities that they can include in, that could be included within that, and it declares an emergency effective upon passage.
So, Richard, could you come forward and tell us a little bit about what this, if you're, or perhaps somebody from the department, or maybe you both know the bill just as well. I'm not exactly sure. I know that you both know some of the fine points of the bill better than I do, but I understand more or less what we're doing here. If you could just articulate that for the committee. What we had, perhaps you could say, what we had in 264 and, we'll be getting to 206 next, and so you may want to mention that as well. And then what we have now in 264 as it's before us.
Okay. Chair Edwards, members of the committee, for the record, Raquel Rancier with the Oregon Water Resources Department. Previously, you had 206 and 264. There was amendments during the public hearing, and basically those previous amendments during the hearing had leasing and transfers of determined claims in the Klamath Basin in two separate bills, and then it also had provisions relating to the joint management entity also in 264. If you look at the amendments that are before you today, 264-5, it now contains only provisions relating to the joint management entity, which is the entity charged with implementing the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Settlement Agreement. It removes one provision that we'd received questions about and heard some concerns about, and that is the provision relating to the department's ability to contract with the joint management entity. So that provision has been removed from the -5 amendments as well. In 206, which you're going to hear shortly here as well, 206 now contains all the provisions relating to temporary transfers and leases in the Klamath Basin of determined claims. So all of that is now in one bill, and then the sunset date has been extended to January 2026. So I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have, or I'll look to Richard to see if he has anything to add. But those are the main changes that you'll see in these amendments.
Okay. Richard, do you have anything to add?
Only Chair Edwards, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, Governor Brown's Natural Resource Advisor. We've made amendments to accommodate the concerns that were expressed on both bills and would ask that the committee approve them.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Them on. So to clarify, the piece that was removed from 264 and was put into 206 is what again?
Chair Edwards, members of the committee, previously in 264, it contained provisions only allowing transfers and leases of determined claims within the off-project area of the Klamath Basin. And the other bill then had provisions for the project area. Now all of those provisions are in Senate Bill 206, and it allows any determined claim in the Upper Klamath Basin to be able to do temporary transfers and leases.
So it is, committee members, it is my understanding that the, why don't we have a motion on the -5s first, and then we'll discuss them a little further.
Ready for me?
Yeah.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the -5 amendment dated 4/17/2015.
So Senator Olson moves to adopt the -5 amendment to Senate Bill
264.
Dated rather long.
Mr. Chair, may I amend my amendment? Because I did not say the bill.
Okay.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the -5 amendment for Senate Bill 264 dated 4/17/2015.
Okay. So Senator Olson moves to adopt the -5 amendment dated 4/17/2015. And this is to Senate Bill 264. Just clarifying, 264. Discussion. So I would like to thank the department. I'd like to thank the governor's office, Richard Whitman, for working with us in the legislature on this. I know that Senate Bills 264 and Senate Bill 206 have previously been viewed as a package, and I still view them as a package, but to accommodate some members of the legislature that felt differently about one than the other but wanted to be able to, you know, really thoroughly give really thorough and robust support to provisions that were split into the two bills, we put all those provisions in one bill. We've left another bill, which I still personally view as part of this, of the same package of bills, and necessary for them both to go forward. That being Senate Bill 264, it doesn't have some of the stuff that folks wanted to be able to vote on. So, anyway, that's how we've ended up here. That's been at the insistence of the legislature. I don't want anybody that's out there listening and any of the many stakeholders that were involved in negotiating this bill with the governor's office, with the department, to think that they had anything to do with breaking up what could have been a very tenuous agreement and what has been explained to me as a requirement that they be, you know, one upper, one lower, and that they be separate bills. We have done that as a legislature to accommodate members of our body, and so be it. So
thank
you for the work that you've done and some very last-minute work to get amendments drafted and whatnot. So having said that, we've got the Dash 5s before us. Is there any further discussion about the Dash 5 amendments? Okay. Are there any objections to the Dash 5 amendments? Okay, seeing none. Motion carries. The Dash 5s are adopted. Can we get a motion on the bill?
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 264 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 264 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. We will close the work session on Senate Bill.
Yes, sign and carry.
Did I do that before I close the work session or after I close the work session?
Either way.
Yeah. So I will carry Senate Bill 264, and we will close the work session on Senate Bill 264, and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill. Yeah, 206. I feel like that one needs a little fanfare because we're just making so many people so happy with Senate Bill 206. So, Senate Bill 206 is before us. Can I get a motion?
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendment to Senate Bill 206 dated 4/17/2015.
Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendment to Senate Bill 206 dated 4/17/2015. Is there any discussion? I think, colleagues, we outlined what's happening here in the discussion on the last bill. Any further thoughts, questions? Okay. Seeing none, are there any objections? Okay. Motion carries.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 206 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 206 to the floor with a do pass as amended with a do pass a recommendation. Any questions or excuse me, any discussion?
Mm-mm.
Okay, seeing none. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And I will check with Senator Whitsitt if he wants to carry it. If he does not want to carry it, I will carry the bill. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 206. And we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 361.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 361, there is a Dash 4 amendment that was available on OLIS. It replaces the measure and requires DOGAMI to provide notice to the local jurisdiction and an opportunity for the local jurisdiction to request that they delay the decision on the operating permit and reclamation plan. It also requires DOGAMI to give certain information about the proposed operating permit and reclamation plan to the local jurisdiction.
Okay. If we have a motion, and then I'll call up a couple of folks, at least one, to explain what exactly the amendment does a little bit more.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendment dated 4/17/2015.
Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendment dated 4/17/2015. Let's have a little bit of discussion about this. Alex Kyler, you want to come on up and tell us, fill us in a little bit about how we arrived at the Dash 4s?
Thank you, Chair Edwards, members of the committee. Alex Kyler, Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager, was here earlier with Rich Engstrom from Oregon Concrete and Aggregate Producers Association. He's otherwise engaged today. But we've had several good conversations between us and the agency. Essentially, the issue we're trying to solve is improved communication between applicants for aggregate mining operations, Dogami, and local government. The Dash 4 amendments, we feel, do that. There's some language in there that states that the department must notify the local government. The local government then has a prescribed time to get back to Dogami with either essentially three actions. One is they can request that there be that the existing 165-day clock runs while that they take the entire 165-day while the local agency processes any land use application that is necessary at the local level. The second thing that the local government could suggest is that the agency delay action until the local government has taken care of any comp plan amendments. That's a longer process. Or the third thing is that the local government can either not respond or suggest, hey, we're fine, you can process this right away even before the 165-day period. In that latter case, the amendment also then suggests that Dogami will send, prior to issuing the permit, a copy of the proposed permit to the local government, and that's sort of a second bite at the apple, and the local government can then review the proposed permit and make comment at that time as well. So that's new language there, where we've got a better process up front when the department receives the application, plus a second review for certain kinds of applications. So I think we've gotten some better connectivity between Dogami and the local government as a result of the Dash 4.
Thanks, Alex. And I don't see Mr. Angstrom here. It's my understanding that you developed these amendments in consultation with him. I don't know that you're authorized to speak for him, but would he agree with you?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, he would agree with me. We've worked on this for actually a couple of years together, and I think we've really been trying to get to yes, and we have. I think he indicated to me actually before the meeting, I wondered where he was. He said he'd talked to several members of the committee and expressed that he was okay with the Dash 4s.
Yep. Great. Senator Prasansky.
Thank you. And Alex, just for the record, this is going to help that, as you said, the communication, and specifically I know we've been working on a lot of these different issues that have mining interest involved, that ensuring that, in this case, the county will have an affirmative duty to have some type of response so Dogami will know that if they haven't received it, they need to follow up as to ensuring that, let's say, the paperwork got there and they had a chance to process it.
Chair Edwards and Senator Brzezinski, yes, the answer to that is yes. I think we've got a better process, like I said, both on the upfront, and then if Dogami hasn't heard, they've still got this duty to then inform the county even before they issue, and then there's a secondary clock that begins to tick there of 35 days to receive comments. So, yeah, we've got a couple different opportunities now.
Follow-up.
Yeah.
And based on that, then that should hopefully give individual constituents or people within that county an opportunity to maybe have some ability to have knowledge of what's going on. I mean, in the sense of, will the counties be reaching out at all to people in that affected area? I'm just thinking of Parvin Butte, mm-hmm. as one of those situations.
Senator Edwards, Senator Brzezinski, in that particular case, had this language been in place, I believe the answer is it would only trigger an actual formal comment by the public if a local comp plan amendment were required.
Okay.
Now, that said, there could be, however, some situations where a local permit would be required for egress or ingress into the site where people would be notified. But the issue of what I've been told at any rate is the issue of, whether or not a mining site can occur If it's been identified as a site that's on the local government's Goal 5 inventory, the issue isn't whether or not it can occur. That decision was made many, many years ago with the adoption of land use legislation.
Any other discussion, comments, questions? Okay. Thanks, Alex.
Okay.
So we have the dash fours are in front of us. The motion's been made. Are there any objections to the dash fours? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 361 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 361 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Okay, the motion carries. Senator Przanski, you want to carry it?
I'd be glad to.
Senator Przanski will carry the bill. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 361. And we will open up a work session on Senate Bill 412.
Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 412, there's a no revenue impact and no fiscal impact statement on the dash four amendment. The dash four amendment replaces the measure and requires any rule adopted by the EQC that requires the determination that the use of solid waste is productive, that the upland placement of dredge material by port district would be productive, defines dredge material for purposes of the act and declares an emergency effective on passage.
Motion.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the dash four amendment to Senate Bill 412, dated 4/16/2015.
Okay, Senator Olson has moved to adopt the dash four amendment dated 4/16/2015. Discussion. Everybody understand what the? Okay, everybody's good. Okay, seeing no discussion, are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 412 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 412 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. I will carry the bill on the Senate floor, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 412, and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 712.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 712 requires the Water Resources Department approval of water management and conservation plan to allow the diversion of an undeveloped portion of the permit under an extension of time to complete construction or perfect the water right for municipal use beyond 20 years. There's a no revenue impact and a fiscal statement issued for the purpose of moving the bill to the Committee on Rules.
Okay, so committee members, we've got a couple of senators, two or three, that have been working diligently on this bill. I wasn't inclined to move it to rules a week ago because I thought that the opposing sides were just too far away from one another. And so right about the point when I was thinking, okay, we're just going to have to pick a side, it became apparent to me that we're actually much closer than I had previously thought. Senator Przanski has been working diligently on this. He's been working with Senator Roblin on it. Mm-hmm. Senator Hansel's weighed in a few times. So I think that we're really close, and I don't want this bill to be a victim of the clock.
Right.
I checked in with some advocates that are concerned with the bill, and let them know that the intention was to send it to rules today without recommendation. That's without recommendation. They've been engaged in this discussion. They're okay with that. They know that it would be going to the Rules Committee, and that process that has been going on for some weeks now, but we've just run out of time on, would continue there. So I think that the stakeholders are okay with that process as I've explained it to them and the feedback I've gotten from them. So that's where we are. So a motion would be great, Senator Olson.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 712 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 712 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Wait, it says wrong. I'm trying to vote. Yeah. Okay. Why do I have a funky? Yeah, okay. I think I did it. Okay. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine. Okay. So the motion carries. Senate Bill 712 is on its way to the Rules Committee. We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 712, and we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 803.
Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 803 is a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. It has no revenue and a fiscal statement issued. It appropriates $370,000 to the State Department of Fish and Wildlife for activities related to the administration, operation, and monitoring of the Uquinna Bay and Coos Bay Spring Chinook Hatchery programs established by the Coastal Multispecies Conservation and Management Plan.
Okay, I take a motion.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 803 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Olson moves that Senate Bill 803 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion?
You recall?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Mr. Chair, I just... I do have problems with the bill in the sense that it's using general fund dollars for this purpose. I appreciate the effort that's underway, but you know, it seems to me that general fund dollars would be better directed to ODF&W for a number of other of its programs. That and so for something that's really just focused on the hatcheries and the fishing, it seems we're not in a position to direct general fund dollars with it. So that's my problem with this. Mm-hmm.
Understandable. I spoke a bit with one of the proponents of the bill. Asked if there could be some effort between here and there. With the advantage of some time to work on it, to maybe come up with a way to mitigate the amount of general fund. Of course, we all know that to the extent that you're able to mitigate the amount of general fund, the better chance it has of passage in Ways and Means. And given that I was comfortable with the underlying program, and given that Ways and Means will make that decision on what to do with the limited general fund, I found myself compelled to move it forward at least to that point in the budgeting process, and then it will either be funded or it won't. But I certainly understand your concern. You're on the sub. Yeah. So you'll get to see it again, maybe if it gets sent to the.
I don't want to block it being sent. I'd like to vote no, just for the record. But okay.
Yeah. Any other comments? Discussion, questions? Okay. Any objections? Note for the record, the objections of Senator Thompson and Dembro. Seeing no other objections, the motion carries. Senate Bill 803 is on its way to Ways and Means. So we will close the work session on Senate Bill 803, and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 829. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 829, there's a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact statement on the Dash 3 amendment. The amendment replaces the measure and requires DEQ when developing or selecting among methodologies for the assessments of water of the state pursuant to certain sections of the Federal Water Pollution Control Act to solicit independent scientific and technical input as appropriate, as well as additional things, and requires the commission to provide an opportunity for public comment on draft assessment methodologies.
All right. So we're considering the Dash 3s on Senate Bill 829. Mm-hmm. Do we have a motion on the Dash 3s?
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 4/16/2015.
Okay. Senator Olson has moved to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated 4/16/2015. And printed on hot pink paper up here. Actually, the amendments aren't printed on that, but what we're doing with the bill, what we're considering with the bill is printed on that. It's really distracting. Palmer and Company, could you explain a little bit about what the Dash 3s do?
Can they also tell us where they originated from?
Yeah, please. If you could tell us about the origination of the Dash 3s, which I believe came out of discussions between the proponents of the bill and concerns that you folks might have had.
Yeah, Chair Edwards, member of the committee, for the record, my name is Palmer Mason. I'm with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. That's right. The original bill, Senate Bill 829, raised some concerns for DEQ because it would have required the assessment methodologies to have been done in rule. We put together a counter proposal, we being DEQ, and met with several stakeholders, both industry, agriculture, and local governments in the environmental community. And out of that conversation, we went through several iterations and ultimately ended up on the Dash 3 amendment. If you want a more technical description of the amendment itself and what it does, Karen is here to do that.
Would the committee like that? Okay. So we've got the history of how this got to us. It sounds like that's enough.
Suffices.
Okay. Suffices. Okay. So we have the motion on the Dash 3s is in front of us. Is there any other discussion? Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. Seeing none, the motion carries.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 829, if I could read this paper, as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 829 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, are there any objections? Senator Przanski, you heard the call for, okay. Seeing none, the motion carries. Yes, Senate Bill 829 is on its way to the floor, and I will carry Senate Bill 829, close the work session on Senate Bill 829, and we will open up a work session on Senate Bill 830. Suction dredge.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this was the bill that we heard at our last meeting, Senate Bill 830. There's a no revenue impact statement issued on the Dash 3 amendment and a fiscal statement issue requesting further analysis in the Committee on Ways and Means. The Dash 3 amendment replaces the measure and directs the EQC to adopt a consolidated permitting program for motorized in-stream placer mining and motorized upland placer mining, repeals the moratorium, and limits the combined total number of permits to no more than 850 annually, and declares an emergency effective upon passage.
All right. Senator Olson.
Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 830, dated 4/15/2015.
Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 830, dated 4/15/2015. Is there any discussion? So we just heard this just a couple days ago, and I think it would be fair to conclude that many from the mining or the suction dredge community were opposed to both the moratorium that will go into effect if we do nothing, but also the solutions presented in the base bill or in the dash threes. But there were people that from that community as well that have been involved with some of these discussions and are comfortable with the dash threes, at least as a platform from which to do further work on the bill. We have run out of time. Both Senators Bates and Boquist were here and testified together in favor of moving the bill with the dash threes to Ways and Means, where that work will continue. So that's kind of a summary of where we're at. And that is with recommendation. Did you say we're going to do it without recommendation?
I thought you said with, but I can do it without. We haven't made that motion yet.
Let's, it was, well, it was with the dash threes.
With the dash threes. I
yeah.
The
motion right now is just for the dash threes.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
that's fine. Yeah, I was just making sure that that doesn't change the dynamics down there. I can't remember if we had discussed with recommendation or without recommendation. We had discussed without recommendation, I think.
I think however the chair wants to go forward will be fine.
Yeah, I think that we should send it without recommendation and more people will feel more comfortable, but we should adopt the dash threes.
Yep.
So, so the dash threes are fine. We're on the dash threes right now. So are there any objections to adoption of the dash threes? Okay. The motion carries. Senator Olson.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 830 as amended to the floor without recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 830 to the floor without recommendation and that be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion?
Mr.
Senator
Chair, Brzozinski. The only thing I think on that motion needs to note that it was with the amendment. I don't think yours did, but I don't think the chair's reflected that it had the
mine didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let me repeat that. Thank you. Senator Olson moved Senate Bill 830 as amended with the dash threes to the floor without recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you for that clarification. Discussion. Okay. Objections. Okay. Note for the record the objection of Senator Thompson. The motion carries. Senate Bill 830 is on its way to Ways and Means. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 830 and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 846.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 846, there's a no revenue impact statement and a fiscal statement issued on this bill. There's a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. The bill itself establishes a nine-member task force to study essential indigenous Andromedus salmonoid habitat and its relationship to salmonid habitat, excuse me, and its relationship to ditches and other man-made conveyance channels.
The chair asked that you would say the word anadromous again.
Maybe we say the next one too. Anadromous.
I don't know. Actually, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. That's how I read it. Is that right? I hate that word. I do. Every time I see it.
I'm not taking the test, man.
The wrong
test.
Yeah. Senator Olson.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 846 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 846 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 846 is on its way to Ways and Means. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 846. We will pause for a moment. I believe we are through all the straight up work sessions. Pretty good record. pretty good record today so far. Not 100%. It's disappointing, but, you know, you do what you can. So we're going to move next to our public hearing. We're going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 881.
Mr. Chair and Committee
Agricultural Member. Hemp seed.
Senate Bill 881, there's a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact issued on the bill itself. Senate Bill 881 would establish that the handling of seeds or seed products that are incapable of germination would not require an agriculture hemp seed production permit. The Act also requires the term of the industrial hemp licenses and agricultural hemp seed production permits from 3 years to 1 year.
Okay. So, Senator Przanski,
yes,
you're leading us here. We have literally nobody signed up for or against this bill. So,
Mr. Chair, I want to thank you and other committee members allowing this one to move forward. This is one that I've been working with the Department of Ag. If you remember, in I believe it was 2009, we passed legislation that allowed for industrial hemp to be grown in the state, but there was a parameters that some certain things had to happen at the federal level. Because of what's happened on the issue with this cousin to industrial hemp, meaning marijuana, and the Cole memo, we believe now things have fallen in place where industrial hemp can, in fact, be licensed and grown in the state. Because of that, we have had individuals who have sought license, is also individuals who are using currently industrial hemp to make various secondary products in the sense of added value, come forward with the scenario that they find that without having the seed being identified as part of industrial hemp, it's hard for them to actually, and it's not the clarification that they can actually utilize that for production in these various products. I will just show to the committee, this is a lip balm that has industrial or has hemp seed oil in it. And this is actually a local manufacturer out of the Eugene who produces that. And so individuals such as himself and others have asked for, and the department in our discussions, they had a work group that has met for approximately 2 years working through this process of trying to do some clarification. So this is more of clarification language that needed for the Department of Ag to be able to move forward and ensure that certain items such as the seed is in fact covered under the definition. And as our community administrator stated, they also wanted to, I think, make the change as to the length of the license for, I think, for the reason, if I remember correctly, the potential cost of those licenses to individuals, if I remember correctly. So that's why we have it. And I guess the other thing I will just let the committee know, so this isn't something coming out of left field in the during this session, there's been some discussion because of now the competing interest of industrial hemp being grown in areas where marijuana production has been ongoing for medical purposes. There are I think the desire that we may actually see a moratorium, at least in certain counties, if not other parts of the state, for industrial hemp to not be going forward. I know the department has asked that we more or less put that on the record so everyone just knows that these are discussions that are ongoing. And so even though we're moving forward with this, and this does not have, let's say, per se, direct impact on the actual production of industrial hemp, there will be some discussions that would, in fact, impact that portion of the law that we've already passed. So with that, we are asking that the committee will move forward so that the agency can make the definitional changes to include hemp seed in the definition of industrial hemp, and also allow for the licensing to be on an annual basis versus a every 3 year basis.
So there might be a moratorium on the growing of industrial hemp?
That's correct. What's happened in this... it's very ironic. Literally, since 1997, I've been the proponent of moving this forward for 12 years.
We had this bill in... Was it
2009 mm-hmm. is when we actually passed it.
Yeah, I remember, and it was bipartisan. I remember Senator Nelson testifying
on it. Yes, Senator Nelson and I were co-chief sponsors of the bill at that time. and we went through it, and it makes a lot of sense. The issue now is because of the competing interest of the products or the plants and the cross-pollination that occurs or can occur. And the reality is we have a medical marijuana production that's happening in Southern Oregon that is nationwide recognized as a very successful, let's say, product that's coming out of there. And the concern is that if you allow for industrial hemp, and there's been one license that has been approved at this point that would be in that general area, that there could be some concerns that we may actually be working at cross purposes. And so what we've been discussing is how do we make certain we continue to go with the correct foot forward on both of these areas of growing commodities and interest. And so there is some discussion of limiting it, at least in these areas where you would have direct competing interest, and then still allowing it to be grown in other areas. So I expect the industrial hemp will still be able to be grown potentially in eastern Oregon and maybe up in the Willamette Valley, but that's still questionable. But I know that the one area that's really been focused on as to major concerns as to the medical marijuana is in the southern Oregon area.
So it's possible that we could end up with a system where folks that are growing under whatever the new or old licensure structure is, either for medical or, you know, under whatever Measure 91 implementation there may be, whatever licensure structure, they could be licensed to grow marijuana, and that license could perhaps also, I mean, if they want to grow industrial hemp under that same license, then possibly they could, but you would just have to be licensed for that, for the full Mary Ann or Mary Jane, or whatever.
Not quite. There is a separate license process for industrial hemp, and that's through the Department of Ag. That was still standing, but what we may see is a moratorium on issuance of licenses, at least in geographic areas of the state, for that purpose. The individuals who are in the process of growing medical marijuana and those who would want to be getting into growing for recreational market will be doing everything they can to ensure that industrial hemp is not grown in the same area because it would be at cross purposes.
Oh, that, okay. So mm-hmm. The industrial hemp can ruin their crop.
Yeah.
The THC, if you're growing for THC, it can definitely impact the percentage of that. You do have other portions of, in the medical marijuana, you have CBDs, which is the areas that have been showing very significant medical therapeutic, let's say, strains to come forward that I don't know how they would be impacted by this, but clearly I think you're going to see a, just as we've seen with canola, areas that you're going to allow for certain things to grow, but you're not going to allow them to be grown in the same place where you can have cross purposes and direct conflict.
So this bill
does not do anything to that. This is just something they asked to have on the record because they want to be talking to individuals that might be seeking industrial hemp licenses, so they can be aware that the legislature is contemplating maybe limiting where industrial hemp will be grown, at least, or have a moratorium for a year or over the next 2 or 3 years, so individuals can be fully informed before they start the endeavor of growing industrial hemp, where that could be adversely impacted by other legislation we may be passing or seeking to pass this year. But this bill here actually deals with what Beth has told us already, and that's basically ensuring that industrial hemp seed is basically caught up in the definition so it can be used and has the same applicability under the definitions we currently have for industrial hemp, and that the licensing process that we were looking at it for a 3-year basis, I think, would be on an annual basis, if I got that right.
Okay, so in reading the bill, this really is about the agricultural hemp seed, and it looks like, if I'm understanding you and the bill correctly, it says that the handling of the agricultural hemp seed and the seed product itself does not require
processing license.
Yeah, it does not require an agricultural hemp seed production permit.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just, because we don't handle, because the department isn't here, and because we don't normally handle the larger marijuana issues, and there have been a lot of those, I just want to make sure that
yep.
I understand what I think are really narrow implications.
Very narrow. This but, is, yeah,
just
this.
To make sure.
Yeah, and you've got it right. That's exactly what it's to do, and it's just to allow for giving clear, bright line definitions, and that they can, in fact, those operations can go forward without having a special license.
Okay. So having heard that, committee members, are there any further questions, or is there anybody watching that now wants to weigh in on this now that you've heard a little bit more discussion, because nobody signed up? No? Okay.
And I'll tell you, the department asked if they needed to be here a couple of weeks ago, and I told them I'd be glad to put this on the record, and that they were not being asked to show up based on that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so there are no other testimony. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 881, and are you guys comfortable working the bill? I'm comfortable working the bill. So, okay. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 881.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 881 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 881 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Well, sounds like it's okay to me. I'm amazed that this bill came in as late as it did, got all the paperwork, didn't need amendments, got scheduled, and looks like it's going to pass out of committee. So
we work very diligently.
So, okay. Are there any objections? Note for the record. The
sure to explain a no vote.
Okay. Note for the record, the objection of Senator Thompson.
Farmer Senator Nelson be talking to you between
okay.
now and four.
Right. Okay.
Note for the record, the objection of Senator Thompson. The motion carries. Senator Przanski will carry the bill, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 881 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 958.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 958, there's a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact issued on the bill itself. Senate Bill 931 creates a free license for organizers of a fishing derby to take and sell a northern peaky minnow.
958.
Excuse me, thank you. 958. Thank you.
It's 420 right now, bill. By the way.
Northern peaky minnow.
It is 420.
I'm not kidding.
On 420.
I'm not kidding.
420 on 420.
Okay.
We'll get through this, sir.
I couldn't resist when I looked at my clock. It's terrible.
I'll note that on the floor speech for 881.
Sorry to interrupt that.
No, fine. Do you want to call these people up?
Oh, you told us what the bill does? Okay. So let's...
Warren's here.
Is that to explain the bill?
Yeah, and then also in support.
Warren, you want to come up and tell us a little bit about Senate Bill 958?
Mr. Chair, while Warren's getting situated, this was something that came in as a constituent concern. They've had a derby ongoing, and Warren will go into greater detail as to how this has worked. What we realized, unfortunately, is that the fundraiser that goes on for the high school was not being operated in accordance with law as to the selling of this trash fish. And because of that, there was a, speaking of moving very quickly, this bill was put together and processed extremely quick, and I want to thank the chair for allowing us to get this before you really on the last of the few days that we could actually have it considered this session.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Prasansky, senators and staff, I'm Warren Weathers. I'm here representing the Blackberry Jam Pike Minnow Derby, which is sponsored by the City of Lowell. This is an annual derby. We started 22 years ago as an economic development operation intended to improve the fishery for sport fish in Dexter Lake to attract sport anglers to and their dollars to our community and to provide a wholesome and inexpensive sport for the community and to fund high school activity trips for clubs and sports working the derby. We wanted to make this self-supporting, and we wanted it to demonstrate the conservation ethic, which we believe in, and by recycling the pike minnow carcasses either as fertilizer or as crab bait or as both. But we found last year that what we'd been doing for so long was may have been illegal. We weren't allowed to sell pike minnow, which is a real contrast to what how the pike minnow population is being managed in the Columbia. Senate Bill 958 will fix these problems by allowing pike minnow to be sold during the derby and by not requiring a commercial license for sport fishing or for fishermen over 14 and children. If Senate Bill 958 is defeated, our derby will end and the sport fishery would revert to its pre-1993 conditions in which it was Dexter Lake was choked with pike minnow. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I have written testimony which I can give to staff.
Thank you. Questions for Warren?
I have some. Yeah. I agree with you. The northern pike minnow, we have a bounty on them in the state to get rid of them. I do have some concerns, though, with the bill because it says that on line four, an organizer of a fishing derby may secure from the State Fish and Wildlife Commission free of charge a fishing derby license to take northern pike minnow and to sell fish taking the during the duration of the derby. Now, when it sells fish, if you would have put under to sell northern pike minnow, I would buy that. But
do you we'd have no objection. That'd be fine.
Do you have any bycatch?
We asked the participants to throw the other any sport fish they catch back during the derby.
Pardon?
We asked the fishermen,
if there's a competitors, bycatch?
Yeah, to put trout and bass back.
Okay.
But we want them to know that they're sport fish, so they'll come back and patronize our businesses.
Okay, that was the concern I had, and then when you say, I should say follow up. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
They don't have to have a fishing license to fish for the pike minnow. Right. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I would just regard this as the fact that although you have a tournament, because I fish bass tournaments all the time, Fish and Wildlife comes out, state troopers come out. You need to make them aware that if there's someone fishing, and they can, if they catch a bass, then they have violated the state law of fishing without a license, because you're not, when you fish, you assume that you're going to catch pike minnow.
We advise all the entrants to have a fishing license.
Okay, but this says you don't have to.
But to also throw back the sport fish that they catch during the 2-day event.
Well, I don't want you guys to get in trouble. Because as an organizer of bass tournaments, we go round and round with technical terms and little pieces of stuff. So I just want to make sure that you don't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Because if someone's catching fishing, they don't have a fishing license, and they catch a bass, they're in violation of the law. And if a state trooper sees them, he can get them, even though, you know, I just want to make sure that you understand that. And a couple of little tweaks, but we don't have time to tweak it.
All right.
Is that the problem?
On this side of the legislature, yes, that is the problem.
Well, I would suggest if this goes, this goes to the House.
These are good points, though.
Yeah, this would go to the House. I would suggest, Senator Prasansky, yep, that you might want to clarify that to sell northern pike minnow taken, and also that if you're fishing, you need to make certain that if you catch something else and a state trooper sees you, it could be a ticket.
I just want to be clear, but I support this bill wholeheartedly. I just want to make sure that nobody gets in trouble for doing it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Just for clarification from Senator Olson, on line six where it says selfish, you'd like to have that called out, that it would be the Northern Pike
Minnow. Northern Pike Minnow, yes.
Okay.
And a follow-up, and I don't mean to interrupt, but what that says to me is that any fish that you bring in, you could sell. And I want to make it clear that it would be Northern Pike Minnow.
I would assume I'll be carrying the bill, and I'll make sure on the floor that we will clarify that what that term means is in conjunction with on line five, the Northern Pike Minnow. And then also, yeah. And then the other part that you wanted to maybe see was that just to ensure that everyone knows that if they need to be or should be in possession of a fishing license if they're catching other fish besides the Northern Pike Minnow. Got it.
And I would recommend that as a safety for you guys.
Thank you. That sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Warren, for being here and explaining the background of this bill. And next I'm going to call up Tom Wolf.
Why is it called Pike?
I don't know. He says Pike.
Mm-hmm. They're both knowledgeable people, so.
Chair Edwards, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited, and before I start my tip, I just can't resist saying it, but it's Pike Minnow and it's anadromous. So Lord knows I say that enough in my life. So, but otherwise, I understand why it's tough. People mispronounce it all the time. I came up to oppose this bill, but just hearing Senator Olson, and I don't know how many times in my life I'm going to say that I agree with Senator Olson, but this is one of them. His concerns about not defining narrowly what the
wasted comment. Huh?
Yeah, I know he's not even here. When narrowly the fish can be caught and sold, I think that needs to be defined in the bill. I feel that his point about the recreational angling license needs to be addressed. Now, technically, to do this, you have to have a commercial permit
permit to do the sale.
Yeah, to do the sale. What I would suggest is that you move the bill forward, and then you get together with ODFW and fix it so you can take care of those objections, because certainly the last thing I want to say in the world that I object to somebody that's doing this to raise money for their community, but I did feel I had to point out these objections that are very limited, but as long as those are fixed, you know, Trout Unlimited would have no objections to the bill moving forward. And that's it.
Thanks for your testimony. I agree. Myself, but any other questions for Tom? Comments? Okay. Right. Thanks for getting your concerns on the record. Right. And I'm anticipating that we will probably find a cooperative house in wanting to fix up these issues. But I am kind of waiting for Senator Olson before. So is there anybody else that wants to testify on this particular bill on the public hearing? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 958. And I see. He's on his phone. Okay, we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 958.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 958 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 958 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? I guess I would just say it would be my hope that we'll get some of those things Senator Brzozowski, when you carry the bill, to get some of those things on the record. And I think this is probably one that we can work cooperatively with the House on and get it all straightened out. And we just, as everyone knows, we just don't have the time with all the backups in the legislative council and getting the fiscals and the revenue statements done to do that before it leaves the Senate. So any other discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll just say I'll be glad to put those on the record. I know that another avenue or option would be through rules, but this seems to be one that I think we'll have cooperation throughout. Representative Hayden and I are, as well as Senator Beyer and Representative Lively, took on the bill. And between the two reps that are on the other side, and I expect that we'll make certain that this all gets taken care of and cleared up for a concurrence vote back with us.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Senator. Okay, we've got a motion in front of us. Is there any other discussion? Okay, are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 958 is on its way to the Senate floor. Senator Brzozowski will carry the bill. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 958. And we are just going to take a moment before we adjourn the committee, just to make sure we got everything done that was in front of us today. Because once the committee is closed, the deadline is
9:31.
Yeah.
Because if you on us,
if you can get them,
do we do 9:31?
Yeah, you just give them efficient.
We did not do Senate Bill 931. We were asked by the proponents of the bill to just pull it.
Okay.
And I'm glad you brought that up because it was posted.
Okay.
Yeah, Senate Bill 931, we were asked by the proponents of the bill to pull it. It sounds like they're working the underlying issues out locally, so they don't feel like they need our bill at this time.
I mean, I'm just saying,
and good to go.
Repeal Center.
Because they want it gone.
Oh, this is hard to
they pass work session.
So,
proposed
date. Nope. Senate Bill 9, 58, 81, 46, 830, 820,
7:12. We're done.
4:12. 361, 206, 264, 202. 164, 163, we didn't do anything with.
Sure, we did.
Sponsors, no.
I've got actions on everything, and I'm showing two going to rules, 712 and 164.
Yep.
My folder's
empty. And the only other one that, let's see, you had the ones going to Ways and Means, and then you already noted that 931 came off already.
Yep. Yep, 931 came off, and we did not have a work session on 163. We just did 164. And
that's correct.
Static.
Yeah, I had that come off too. That's correct.
Okay, we're adjourned. Okay.